Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Zydus Wellness Q1 FY24 earnings conference call hosted by ICICI Securities. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Karan Bhuwania from ICICI Securities. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. It's our pleasure at ISEC to host Q1 FY24 results conference call for Zydus Wellness Limited. From the management, we have today Dr. Sharvil Patel, Chairman of the company, Mr. Tarun Arora, CEO, Mr. Ganesh Nayak, Director, and Mr. Umesh Parikh, CFO. I now hand over the call to the management for their opening remarks, post which we can open the Q&A session. Thank you.
Good afternoon and welcome to the post-results teleconference of Zydus Wellness Limited for Q1 financial year 2023-24. We have with us Dr. Sharvil Patel, Chairman, Mr. Ganesh Nayak, Director, and Mr. Umesh Parikh, CFO. On the onset of the first quarter of the financial year 2023-24, the business has started with a mixed bag. On a revenue front, while the net sales growth is about 1%, the portfolio without Glucon-D has witnessed closer to double-digit growth supported by volume growth of 4.5%. Similarly, as explained in the last quarter, we continue to see improvement in gross margins for our non-milk-based portfolio in excess of 100 basis points over the same period last year. We are taking appropriate price increases to address the milk inflation in the coming quarters. The country witnessed erratic weather patterns with unseasonal rains across various states. Sales of our key summer season brand, Glucon-D, which contributes a significant proportion of overall sales in Q1, is also impacted due to the same. Let me take you through the highlights of the consolidated financial performance of Q1 financial year 2023-24. During the first quarter of financial year 2023-24, our net sales grew by 0.9% to 6,992 million rupees. Our total income from operations grew by 0.8% to 7,021 million rupees. EBITDA degrew by 21.3% year-on-year to 1,165 million rupees. Other expenses grew by 13.6% on account of high cost of alternative fuel and statutory wage rate increase, which continued to impact our overall manufacturing cost. The company has incurred one-time expenditure of 142 million rupees towards one-time settlement with workers, legal charges, and provision for inventory write-off. Savings on account of cessation of Sitarganj plant is partially captured in our HR cost and remaining balancing the steep increase in wage costs and alternative fuel costs in other plants. Reported net profit was down by 19.4% year-on-year at 1,104 million rupees. Adjusting for exceptional items, the net profit was down by 10.9% year-on-year at 1,246 million rupees. With that, let me share some of the highlights of the operations for the quarter, which will also cover the category growth market share numbers as per MAT June 23 report of Nielsen and IQVIA. We continued our thrust on marketing initiatives to grow categories and increase market share of our brands during the quarter. To narrate a few, on the Glucon-D front, unseasonal rains across various key states of country coupled with Cyclone Biprojoy during key summer season has impacted category sales during the quarter. Further to boost trials for the new launches, we launched new campaigns for Glucon-D sachets and Glucon-D Mango Blast variant, which are our new offerings for the season. The glucose powder category has degrown by 3% at MAT level. Glucon-D brand continues to maintain its number one position with a market share of 59.9%, which is a decrease of 57 basis points over the same period last year. On the Complan front, in response to competitive actions of aggressive LUPs and price reductions, we had revised the pack price architecture for Complan in last financial year. This was focused on reviving volume growth for the brand. Complan has registered a growth of 12% in terms of number of household usage at MAT level, which is corroborated with growing volume offtakes for the brand. The health food drinks category has registered a growth of 2% at MAT level. Complan market share stood at 4.5%. On sweetness front, Sugar Free brand has continued the offtake growth momentum in quarter one on a year-on-year basis. A new communication that focuses on motivating consumers towards embracing healthier lifestyle with small change was launched in quarter two. The approach is embodied in our thematic expression of Katrina's Fitness Wali Chai, a concept designed to demonstrate a small change of adopting fitness into one's daily routine. The brand continues to maintain its leadership with a market share of 96.2%. On the personal care front, the face scrub category has registered a growth of 6.5% at MAT level. Everyuth Scrub continues to maintain its leadership position with a market share of 42.4%, which is an increase of 42 basis points over the same period last year. The peel off category has registered a degrowth of 0.3% at MAT level. Everyuth peel off has maintained its number one position with a market share of 78.7%, which is an increase of 19 basis points over the same period last year. Nycil brand registered strong growth for the quarter backed by support through media campaigns for talc and body mist. The prickly heat category, a powder category, has degrown by 4.5% at MAT level. Nycil has maintained its number one position with a market share of 35.5%, which is an increase of 117 basis points over the same period last year. On the dairy and spreads category front, Nutralite brand has delivered yet another strong set of numbers, thereby registering robust growth for the quarter. The company is focused on volume-led growth, which will further be accelerated by innovations in the coming quarters. With Bangladesh subsidiary becoming operational during the quarter, company aspires to strengthen its international presence. The company also plans to take forward its digital journey by implementing data analytics and warehouse management systems. Thank you, and we will now start the Q&A session. Over to the coordinator for the Q&A.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone wishing to ask a question may please press star and one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Abneesh Roy from Nuvama Institutional Equities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. I've got three questions. My first question is on the prickly heat powder category. So Nycil has seen good market share gain. Here my question is, your key competitor acquired a brand a few quarters back, and now they have become on a combined basis number one player. Against that, the market share gain is a good performance. So wanted to understand how the industry dynamics has changed. What are you doing different? 117 bps is a good market share improvement. Is it also correlating with the growth you have seen in the past few quarters? Because many times we see market share gives a different trend and actual performance could be a bit different.
Hello.
Hello. Yeah. Thanks, Abneesh. On Nycil, I think we have a very strong brand. It is the number one cooling space, and we continue to drive the brand on fundamentals. we believe the latent equity of this brand is much more, and that's really what we focused ourselves. We continue to communicate to consumers the benefits which are unique to it for a family consumption, and continue to drive on execution on ground through distribution expansion. I think these have really been giving us results, and that's really what it is. And I think the gain in the market share also reflects our internal performance as well.
No, but my question was, your key competitor has now become on a combined basis bigger than you. Is that impacting any way your ability to really keep maintaining the number one brand? On an overall basis, they are bigger, but you are still the, on a brand basis, you are still the number one. So wanted to understand industry dynamics, any change?
I have not seen any changes. I think we are focused on gaining new consumers, and that's really where I see the advantage coming to us, that we have been able to continue to focus on gaining consumers, and that's what we are getting. I think from a competitive point of view, I think each of the brands are trying their bit in terms of market share, but at on ground, I don't see any significant dynamic shift.
And these are not wholesale, I mean, these are not brands which, I mean, these are real brands, these are not replacement products. So I don't think you can combine two brands and say you become number one like that, because each brand has its own capability and own customer set. So you don't replace just because, you don't combine brands like that. Otherwise, so you combine categories also.
Right. My second question is on HFD. So you mentioned the aggressive behavior by the large player last year, due to which the overall pricing architecture went for a change. There was the LUP being introduced by the market leader. So from there on, the milk, which is the key raw material, has seen massive inflation. So now where do we stand in terms of price hike in the last 1 year in your HFD portfolio? And what would be the plan going ahead? Because now it seems that milk prices are stabilizing. So would you still look at a price hike given that now the raw material is stabilizing? And what is the way forward? Because here again, you have lost market share. At a very small market share, you have lost market share. So wanted to understand what is the way forward here.
So I think there are three, four things that matter in this whole portfolio. I think the action by the leader is about 1.5, 2 years back, which has disrupted the market and their possible intention to grow the market and go deeper. We had less than fair participation in certain segments like the sachets, etc., which we've corrected. It's still very small, but we have a better participation, and we also have a price point play through pouches, which we are participating in. Having said this, I think we are seeing good gains in terms of new households acquisition, which is a critical benchmark for a brand, and that's why we mentioned 12% gain in households and a volume share shift, which we are seeing on the brand. I think going forward, we are looking, as the milk prices are stable, we are seeing a good build-up of the brand, and the market share loss that you may attribute is more about not participating in a certain price segments, which we have less than fair participation. On a stable level, I think some of the key states and key markets and key packs, we continue to hold the consumer base that we have held. So I think there is a structural shift that was introduced, which we have addressed, and we should be able to build it forward, going forward. Milk prices stable is a good news. We are taking price increases, calibrated price increases, which will help us recover the EBITDA margins that we have our commitment for towards.
One last follow-up there. So when you say 12% increase or gain in number of household, but then when I see market share has come down by 31 bits, also the entire industry growth rate in HFD is not something which is very great in terms of volumes. So what does the 12% gain in household mean when your market share is reduced? Where is the disconnect?
So I think we for us, there are two or three things that matter. I think the inflation, because these are relatively higher price categories. There was a point in time when this category was much smaller, and there were consumers who will, despite inflation, buy the same quantity. There is possible reduction in per household usage, but we continue to buy more, acquire more consumers, and that's, I think, a very critical for us. We're also seeing a volume share gain, which I think will translate into value share gain that you are attributing us to, and that is
Sorry to interrupt, sir. We have lost your audio. Members,
did you get what I said?
No, sir. We lost the audio from your line for the last few seconds.
Okay.
So I'll just repeat. I think we have. I think the critical part is that we have to gain new consumers, which we are. In a hyperinflation situation, there may have been a reduction in consumption, which is why there's a difference in the household category growth and the value numbers. We have in last few quarters seen a volume market share recovery, and value will start also reflecting sooner or later as things get more normalized.
So thanks. That's all from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Tejas Shah from Avendus Spark. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. So first question, I logged in a bit late, but what will be the volume and price mix breakup for the quarter? Hello?
So total we'll have a negative about 6.2, but if you were to reduce Glucon-D, which is an exceptional season for us, without that we would have about 4.5% increase in volume growth.
Okay. And sir, second question was on HFD, this extension of the previous participant's question also. That even leader indicated degrowth in the category in this quarter. Now, with all the interventions and marketing efforts that leader would have made, along with obviously participants like you also in the category, and when we look at in perspective of very low penetration of the category, which was the base argument for somebody putting in money into this category, why this category has not responded at all in last 4-5 years in terms of growth?
So while this is a larger strategic question, I think there are two or three things that I can quickly talk for this want of time. One, I think there have been nutrition now has 2-3 parts. One, there are segmented consumptions, and we have seen adult consumption going up while the kids consumption, people have alternatives, which could be in terms of cereals, which could be in terms of juice and other nutritional items. And daily food product also, consumers are more conscious of other nutrition. So that's one. The other factor that I think which has hurt brands like ours, which are a premium to others and have largely a main pack play, is significant inflation puts pressure on the marginal households, which impact the category. So those are factors which I'm seeing. I think the second one is temporary in nature, where the inflation settles down. The structural one, we'll have to provide a better reason for consumers to continue to use this category versus other alternatives they will have for food and nutrition, or specifically on nutrition point, which is why we are focused on building superior nutrition and clinical based claims. But a larger thing,
I think also this whole the lower price point architecture that got introduced, I think has a detrimental effect on the overall category. So maybe short term it looked very good, but it has destroyed the whole pricing architecture.
Okay. In value terms, I can understand, but even on volume terms, you believe that it has kind of made the category less appealing to the consumers?
I think you have to give a right proposition, then it is still and a relevant proposition to the consumer. So I think with better claims on products, which we believe we will be able to, which we have and which we'll be able to show, I think that is going to matter as we go forward. And obviously adjacencies in terms of age groups and other, I mean, extensions that one can look at in terms of growth. That is obviously going to be also very critical as to how do we move forward from this. So I think in the last quarter, as Tarun said, we have seen a good uptick in terms of volume in certain states, which are really critical for us. So we hope we are on the path of recovery after this last couple of 4-5 quarters.
Sure. Next question is on this WHO's assessment on which there is a lot of controversy around that whether aspartame is carcinogenic or not. And you have also kind of mentioned it in your PPT. So any early reaction from consumer, whether they have you lost any consumer base because of this speculation, or you believe that consumers have kind of taken it in stride, like most of the allegations which we have seen in past also in some of the categories. So just wanted to understand early reaction of consumers that you would have picked up.
So I think one is on the consumer reaction. I think we still have to wait. We haven't seen any drastic differences, but again, we have to wait and see what impact some of this has. I think one thing we have to understand that it has been a very selective way of dissemination of information that has happened, that has come out of from the WHO, not from the WHO, but how it has been reported. So I think we have to work very hard to make sure we correct the right perception about what has been written. The category that it falls in and the daily requirement dosing or the daily intake that is allowed is significantly below any consumption level that exists today here. And, you know, in this category, there are even products like others also which form part of the same category. So it's I think we have to do a lot of education, which is the effort that we'll have to put to the consumers in any form possible, and also make sure that the right information is disseminated and not selective information. But whether we will have some impact, we have to wait and see. It's still a little too early to know whether what kind of an impact this would have.
Sure. And the last one on margins. So finally, almost after 2.5 years, we are seeing some early signs of inflation kind of cooling off. So let's assume hypothetically, as the year progresses, we have this tailwind which we have seen right now continues. Would you have flexibility to let it flow to the margins, or you believe that business and the current demand environment will require a lot of investment to kind of not allow that to happen in the near future?
So I think Tarun can take it, but I think end of the day, we have to make sure that we improve our profitability. So I think with this deflation in commodities, other than price increases, we have seen an improvement in our gross margins. And definitely, if with the right product mix, if we are able to maintain, we should see that come down through into the operating leverage. So I think all the things have happened. Now, obviously, it's a question of making sure that we have the right product mix that we are able to sell. And there has been a lull in the market right now, so we have to wait and see how the next few months go on in terms of the demand generation. But otherwise, I think other than milk, I think we have more than sufficiently covered our gaps.
But any guidance would you like to give for 2-3 years, the way you have given on many other parameters, maybe you want to see the margins now?
For sure. Like we've said last time also, we believe that in next 2-3 years, we should be looking at recovering back to 17-18%, because we dropped down to 15. We should be looking at 2-3 years back to 18 before we get down to further away beyond.
Okay.
Because we'll have to invest back also. So.
Understood. That's all from my side, and all the best for coming quarters.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Madhur from Counter Cyclical PMS. Please go ahead.
Hello, good afternoon. Thank you for the opportunity. I have two questions. One is, when will our revenue start growing? And with the increase in online and MT proportion, will margins decrease and working capital increase structurally? Thank you.
So I think it's a good question, and that's the most important for us is to get revenue growth. And I think there are things that beyond our control, but we do believe that we have the right mix for growth. And that's why we've isolated the growth factor, where on a seasonal part, which did pull us down, otherwise we do believe we have all the right mixes to get growth, and we should continue to see growth coming back. Working capital, you want to take?
Yeah, sure. So as we said earlier also, we hope to see the improvement in the working capital cycle by 10 to 13 days, as reported last year, from whatever is reported last year.
And margins will not be, we are protecting our margins for across channel purposes. So that should not impact. I think you'd also asked, will the growth in organized trade impact our margins? I think we are reasonably protected on that. It may impact working capital, which we are balancing, and margins will be fair. Next question.
Mother, are you done with your question?
Oh, yeah, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Alok Shah from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi everyone. Thanks for the opportunity. My first question is that while you mentioned the erratic weather impacting the sales of Glucon-D, and number two in his presentation has mentioned the same, was just wondering, why would that not impact the sales of Nycil also, or was that impact quite difficult to quantify? Just wanted to get that information.
I think there are two factors that play out. One, I think Glucon-D has even a shorter cycle than Nycil, and the timing of that cycle, which is more April, May. Secondly, Nycil, because of prickly heat, has linkage to both perspiration. And therefore, the humidity plays also to the advantage of Nycil. So I think while the category...
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for patiently holding. We now have the line for the management reconnected. Over to you, sir. Mr. Shah?
Yeah.
Are you able to hear us?
Yeah, I'm not able to hear them, sir.
Members of the management team?
Can you hear us?
Yes, sir. We're able to hear.
Yes,
sir.
Okay. So, Alok, should I repeat, or were you able to get before the call got disconnected?
No, I got it because of the longer seasonality, because of the summer plus the humidity-related issue, which helps nicely. Got it. Second point was with respect to performance of Nutralite, so which has been sustaining fairly well. So just wanted to check how would the performance within that of the new launches here, Choco Spread, Mayo, etc. would be doing, and would it have gained sizable share, or is the base Nutralite which is still sort of growing at a fast clip?
So what is doing well in Nutralite is the base for sure has continued to do well. The dairy portfolio has done well, the butter and ghee. Within the new launches on the spread side, I think chocolate spread is much lower than our expectation. So we have to see what we want to do with it. Mayonnaise, I think we have covered a certain mass. I think there is potential to do more, for which we are doing some work which will help us get right as we build forward on that.
Got it. Perfect. And my last bit was on the marketing spend. So ATL plus BTL put together, now that the margins will potentially start to look much better, except for the DMH, you know, most of the commodities should be relatively benign. How are we thinking in terms of overall spends towards, you know, pushing the product as well as the communication to the consumer? So is there a scope to increase any spend over there which can help in terms of the growth? That's it from my side.
It's a fair question, and we are titrating it because we would want to balance and ensure as the gross margin goes up, we are able to spend on it. But we are doing a calibrated calls on that quarter to quarter, because we explained, our gross margins have gone up for the non-milk, but at the overall portfolio, once it starts growing up, we will be more confident on pushing certain investments up. So we are doing up.
And I think for the next 6 months at least, I think Sugar Free and Ever Youth, we will think properly in terms of how do we spend for that to grow, because those are important brands for us and have done well. So we need to make sure that we do the right investments in those. The others will be more measured in terms of how do we invest, depending on the offtake and demand
opportunities. Got it. Just to confirm, you said Sugar Free and Ever Youth. Did I pick up rightly?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Perfect. Right. Thank you. Good luck.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kinjal Mota from Banyan Tree Advisors Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you for the opportunity. I have a couple of questions. My first question is, in the context of skincare, particularly in the realm of facial care, the face wash market is witnessing growth. However, the market for peel-off and scrubs products does not seem to be experiencing similar growth trends. So, what are the challenges currently impacting the growth of peel-off and scrub products in the market overall?
So, I think peel-off market has a linkage more to the occasions of consumption, which is largely festivities or wedding season, and therefore there is a swing that happens in between. Otherwise, we've seen in last 1 year a good offtake. Similarly, scrubs has also been considerably good offtakes, and we've been building our market share. The only thing is that Nielsen numbers that we quote are the best, the best estimates we have for the category. But our belief is that it will continue to grow and grow well. Also, some of the growths which Nielsen does not capture happen also online sales. Unfortunately, despite our request to Nielsen, we have not been able to capture it as a full picture of the category. But we do see scrubs and peel-off will continue to be large potential opportunities for a category growth.
And at least for us, till at least year to date, they have contributed well.
Okay, got it. My second question is, has the introduction of products like Sugar Lite, which competes with your existing product that is Sugar Free, resulted in any cannibalization?
No, actually, Sugar Lite is positioned more as a sugar, and therefore, yes, we've not seen any level of cannibalization.
Okay. And under what duration will the tax benefit which is currently arising out of MAT credit and accumulated losses remain accessible?
It will be until March 25. After March 25, we will have a normal tax rate. Yeah.
Okay. That's all from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kaustubh Pawaskar from Sharekhan by BNP Paribas. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, sir. Thanks for giving me the opportunity. So my question is on the sugar-free category as a whole. This quarter, again, we have seen mid-single-digit growth, and you have indicated that because of the issues related to you have not seen any kind of impact.
Sorry, Kaustubh, there is a lot of disturbance in the line.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of background disturbance from your line, sir.
Just a second. Is it okay now? Is it better?
Yes, sir. Please proceed.
Yes.
Yeah. So my question is on the sugar category as a whole. So this quarter also we have seen mid-single-digit kind of a category, and you have alluded to the point that you are not seeing any impact of issues related to aspect of. Just want to understand, where are we losing? Because earlier we used to see that this category used to grow in good double digits, and we are the market leader and we used to gain because of that. What is issue related to the category? Why we are seeing, growth single digits, and when can we expect, growth to come back to double digit for sugar-free?
So I will just take one question. The effect of what has happened, we have to still wait and see. As I said, it's too early for us to comment on what could be the impact of the current news that was there. As I said, what we have to do is to make sure we give the right, correct information for the consumers to make the right choices. But as I said, so we have to still wait and see whether the impact, because the impact takes longer, it doesn't happen so suddenly. But so far, we are insulated. With regards to how to grow the category and areas that you're talking about, maybe Tarun can.
Yeah. So overall, the consumers talk about top couple of reasons due to which is the reason for lower adoption of this segment is, or this businesses. One is the relevance, because somehow a large portion of impressions or positioning has been that it is more suitable for diabetics, and therefore we've had a large amount of effort both for diabetics as well as non-diabetics to adopt. So that's one effort that we make consistently. Second is it's not related to just this episode of WHO, you know, announcing certain things. There has been a lot of negative publicity about this segment over the years on various online spaces, which creates a certain amount of concern on people, which holds people back sometimes. So we are addressing both these parts consistently. It has impacted and created headwinds for this segment, and I think we should be able to address. In particular, we've seen when we look at our stevia-based product, which is natural and is positioned so, we've seen high double-digit growth and a much faster adoption. The challenge is how do we make people shift even harder is something we are working on and should be able to do. There is obviously the third element, which is price also, which comes through. But we believe with the right positioning and the right continued effort, we should get improve our adoption. There is the last piece which I could add, which could be linked to leveraging this brand to get into other food spaces. Some of the experiments we have done, pilots we have done on chocolates in online space, I think we still have a work to do, and we'll also explore some of those things over the next couple of years. But that's where we are in terms of our effort to grow this brand.
That's it. So the related question to the same, as you said that stevia is doing good for you, and in the presentation also there is a mention that you will be launching more products under the sucralose and stevia, you know, which is a subsegment under the sugar free. Is it to create a right portfolio for you so that, you know, that on which you can leverage and see a better growth going ahead?
So we want to focus. Yes, we are looking at launching more products under the sugar free, like I said, on leveraging, and also drive consumers to overcome the perception challenge which may be existing with aspartame, but to focus more on sucralose and stevia. That's largely what we want to do, as I explained.
Okay, sir. Thank you. Thanks for that.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star and one. The next question is on the line of Ajay Thakur from Anand Rathi Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for taking my question. So I wanted to understand first on the Glucon-D. I understand that, you know, the category actually had faced the headwinds, but can you just also throw some light in terms of, you know, color, how or which, you know, regions actually have got more impacted? Because if I have to look at it, the category volume decline has only been 3%. And if I were to do some bit of math, I believe, you know, our volume decline would be maybe slightly higher than that. So, you know, just trying to understand that part of the kind of, you know, understand the puzzle. Hello.
So I think if I were to give you a sense of it, I think, and while we report quarter to quarter numbers, a substantial portion of our business gets done over two quarters, quarter four and quarter one. At quarter four plus quarter one, I think our growth rates are higher than the category growths. Though I can also tell you regions which have done well are largely east and south, where the rain impact was relatively less and we have got a better response. And therefore the season was more supportive. North and west are more impacted. But at an overall level, we have done our internal growth rates are better than the...
I think this quarter was highly skewed in terms of lower side, but first half, if you look at it, we did better than the category. Yes.
Okay, understand. Secondly, also wanted to understand a bit more on the growth momentum. So if I were to put it across, you know, we are still targeting around 18% kind of, 17-18% kind of EBITDA margin for, you know, FY24 possibly. I mean, we are hoping for that. But if I were to look at, you know, the next two quarters, obviously we have much lower margin because of the seasonality factor and our product portfolio mix. So are you, you know, kind of hoping that we would be able to kind of, you know, at least reach within that kind of a limit? Or you believe it will be, you know, kind of difficult with the current, either the raw material trends or given the fact that, you know, the mix or how our performance has been in Q1?
So our focus remains to improve our gross margins and EBITDA margins for each quarter. Structurally, the next two quarters are lower because the fixed costs remain very similar around the year. But the operating gross margins and therefore the EBITDA margins drop because of the mix and the fixed costs, and therefore it works in the reverse way, the deleveraging of the operating leverage working in the opposite direction. So I would say we are still focused to continue to get better growth over last year over the next two quarters, but obviously, and that's how it will be, that's how it structurally is.
Understand. And so lastly, just to understand, we have been doing almost like a double-digit kind of a revenue growth, and we still have, you know, 5-6%, I believe, in terms of the price pricing, you know, which is there. But then current year, given the, you know, high base of Q1, can we still be looking at a double-digit kind of a revenue growth momentum, or just because of the Q1 kind of a miss, you believe, you know, we would be looking at something like a more like a high single digit kind of a growth for the FY24.
I'm not sure of the forward looking thing, but I think we still have a shot at it. We still have three quarters to go and a large quarter four also. So I'm hopeful that we should be able to pull that through, but we'll have to play it as it goes.
Okay. Thanks. Quite helpful, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Mayur Parkeria from Wealth Managers India Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir, and thank you for taking my questions.
Sorry to interrupt, Mr. Parkeria. Sir, your audio is sounding very soft. Can you speak a bit louder?
Is it now okay?
Yes, sir. This is much better. Thank you.
So, sir, actually, this is not necessarily a, you know, question of it's a negative intent, but with just to understand, right? You know, so, because at a overall company level, you know, this is not at a individual segment level understanding, but at an overall company level, do you see we being able to structurally demonstrate a volume growth which can be in the region of, you know, closer to double digit or higher single digits or something like that? Or do you see that in the current product segments, categories also, that we will have to do something different firstly? Or do you think that we will have to acquire certain product gaps which you have mentioned in the presentation also in terms of bolt-on acquisitions? The reason, the background with which I'm coming is, you know, we have seasonality in the product baskets, and some of our products are very highly penetrated, and the category itself is facing challenges in terms of the growth. So how do you see at the overall company level, from an, you know, overall investor level, this ability to deliver you know, volume growth which is structurally over the next 3-4 years, sir?
So I think we do not have a doubt in terms of the fact that we can deliver a consistent over 3 to 4 years double-digit growth. Last financial year was there. We've missed because of a season. And every 3 to 4 years, if we look at last 10 years data also, we've seen there is one odd seasons which go down and there is a seasonality impact or some other, disruptions. But double-digit growth is absolutely a doable thing given our portfolio. Of course, other things, if we buy or if we launch, will add to it, but we do believe the portfolio fits in into our double-digit growth. Can this double-digit growth be purely volume-led? Intention, yes, but there is a certain amount of inflation which is inherent to business and will always be part of that mix. Our focus is to grow our consumer base by recruiting new consumers, and therefore we have a single-minded focus on that. Inflation is just to work around the cost structures as well as competitive perspective. And therefore, we're quite committed to doing that.
Sir, do you see this do you see this coming from you know, any changes which we are assuming in terms of certain product categories which will add, like what you mentioned about sugar free, some of the extensions, or do you see that the current, when you answer this, is it based on the current product itself or some major changes which you have inbuilt there, sir?
So really speaking, I think if I look at last 8 to 10 quarters, except for a couple of brands where we've had some challenges and we are working on those, I think most of our brands have clearly demonstrated that, and we don't see a reason where brands over 3 to 4 years, Glucon-D, Nycil, Everyouth, Nutrilite, have any challenge in demonstrating over next 3 to 4 years or in last couple of years any double-digit growth challenge. Complan had a more structural, had a industry level issue, which I think we'll figure out a way to come out of, and we'll launch extension and work around. Sugar Free has also seen single digit growths. We're working on how to pull that forward. But as an overall portfolio, I don't have any reason to believe there is a challenge at a business level. And therefore, the new products will support our belief in that.
Last one, very small question on the bookkeeping side. Will you be in a position to just give us a qualitative understanding how much Everyouth would be at a category level at the overall annual sales basis?
We've already given at the overall level between Nycil and Everyouth, but individual breakups we are not giving.
Oh, okay, sir. Thank you,
sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the last question. I now hand the conference over to the management for their closing comments.
Thank you very much, and see you in the next quarter. Thank you.
Thank you, members of the management team. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of ICICI Securities, that concludes this conference call. We thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.